Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Turf Show Times, the podcast. I'm Kenneth Arthur, and with me this week from Turf Show Times is JB Scott, one of our, I'm going to say, premier writers out there at Turf Show Times, covering the Rams, even in fact, the Super Bowl champion Rams of the 2021 season. And we're going to find out if the Rams can be the first team to repeat since the 03-04 Patriots. It's been a long time since anyone's done that. What has stood in the way of the last, 16 or 17 attempts to repeat, and what are the Rams going to do differently? Maybe it's not what the Rams are going to do differently. Maybe it's just the fact that the gauntlet is cleared up a little bit in the NFC, seems to have migrated to the AFC for a while. So me and JB, we're going to talk about the state of the Los Angeles Rams, and we're also going to talk about the state of the NFL as a whole. And we're going to take a look at the depth charts in the NFC and the other rosters and where the Rams stand and the salary cap and all that. So stay tuned to see us go over what's going on right now as of April 4th, I believe. Maybe by the time you're watching this, April 5th, the state of the Rams post-free agency, pre-draft, which, the Rams will make their 8 or 7 picks or whatever that they end up with. And that's all great, but probably not going to have a huge impact on this upcoming season. And we'll talk about that probably too. But JB, welcome, first of all, to the podcast. And thanks for, for those fans out there, there might be some who were a part of listening to the Last Minute Thoughts podcast that you and Rob put out every week on Saturdays to give the last minute thoughts on the Rams. Maybe we could do a quick last minute thoughts right now. What are your last minute thoughts as free agency is wrapping up here for the Rams in the NFL?
Sure. Well, I sure picked a good first year to start covering the Rams for Turf Show Times. Absolutely. It was an exciting year. And I mean, while they won the Super Bowl with the first year with Matthew Stafford at the helm, and probably even fair to expect improvement from him and other acquisitions moving forward too. So just absolutely incredible. It'd be rare air to run it back and win it for the second year in a row, because I mean, it just hasn't happened in 20 or so years. But they seem primed, they're reloading, and they're as good as they were at this time last year probably. So it's, there's still plenty of reasons to be optimistic as a Rams fan.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm gonna look at a screen here right now, show everyone the state of the Rams depth chart, and we're looking at a roster that looks pretty similar to the one that just won the Super Bowl. Probably, nothing becomes a greater focus than the quarterback position these days. It seems to be the only thing that people even talk about to some degree is these quarterbacks, and the Rams have a pretty good one. As you mentioned there, Matthew Stafford, the first season of Matthew Stafford after he had left the Lions, 12 years with the Lions, 0-3 in the playoffs, 1 year with the Rams, 4-0 in the playoffs. Obviously, having a good team around you can help. JB, when you're looking at the Rams' offensive depth chart, starting with, where LA is at before we get to the other NFC teams, what stands out to you here as far as new additions, guys that are gone, concerns, strengths? What stands out to you here with the Rams' depth chart, a lot of these starters?
Sure. You really had those three key free agents at the onset of free agency. They retained Joseph Noteboom and Brian Allen, of course. Brian Allen, kind of a surprise emergent contributor last year, whenever we thought Austin Corbett maybe was going to be the starting center coming into training camp. But now he's the one that ends up leaving. And yeah, have a hole at right guard. And maybe Coleman Shelton's an option. Maybe Bobby Evans. We know he came into training camp, slated it as a starter at right guard last year, but just didn't hold up to it. And maybe it was a big reason why Corbett was forced to move back to right guard. So maybe the Rams, maybe Tremaine Ancrum is another option, but maybe the Rams, they need to maybe find a developmental piece in the draft, someone who can come in and hopefully the answer's on the roster. Really, free agency is a time to fill those needs, and you can look towards the future in the draft too. But it was a big and important move for the Rams to retain Noteboom and Allen, and hopefully they can find someone to plug in at right guard.
Yeah, with the offensive line, you know, it's interesting, as we saw there, that for Joseph Noteboom, it was interesting that he's 26. You know, this is almost feels like a guy who, if he was in the draft, he would be an old player in the draft. Not the oldest, especially, you know, there's been other guys out there who have had, you know, like Garrett Bowles, and he was 25 years old when he got drafted by the Broncos in the first round. And you look at him now, you know, the Bowles is a franchise left tackle and the Broncos are happy to have him. And the Rams re-sign Joseph Noteboom. He's 26. And if he was going into the draft, he'd be a guy who you could, you know, not just claim, but know for sure is capable of starting at left tackle in the NFL. And whether or not he will play at a super high level is yet to be determined. You know, I think comparing him to, say, the Andrew Whitworth of the last couple of years, maybe there's not that huge of a difference, but are you getting a 26-year-old Andrew Whitworth? You know, I don't know if that's going to be the case. And that's going to be an interesting transition. You talked about the interior of the offensive line losing Austin Corbett, who I thought had played pretty well. And I think I was ended up being higher on Corbett than most. And I do think, like, at the very least, we can expect some sort of change here when you go from Corbett to either Bobby Evans or Coleman Shelton, or as you said, Tremaine Ancrum. You know, all those options there are still very unknown. You know, we've seen that the Rams last year could win a Super Bowl patchworking the offensive line, but we also saw the year before that, you know, it's like Austin Blythe, was he, you know, a great center to have be ready for? You know, are you going to get lucky with Brian Allen like you did with Brian Allen? Are you going to get lucky with whoever fills in at right guard? So that's interesting. Also, the addition of Allen Robinson. What do you think, JB, with regards to after Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson right now? You know, a lot of people are wondering what's going to happen with Odell Beckham Jr. and if he'll come back to the Rams. What do you think as far as Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell? Are the Rams going to end up needing Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, I mean, you really have a lot of different flavors, right? If that's what you want to call them, receivers. Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, kind of in the same mold. Allen Robinson, maybe you throw Jacob Harris in that more physical receiver mold. And then Tutu Atwell, they acquired both DeSean Jackson and Atwell a season ago. So there's obviously a role in this offense that Sean McVay feels is necessary to onboard such a specific type of player. Maybe Atwell's going to be more the gadget type, the jet sweeps and such. Maybe he's going to help use Atwell to push the ball down the field. So I think there's a lot of different flavors. That's not necessarily something the Rams had entering the season. Definitely in 2020 when they still had Jared Goff. A little bit more so in 2021 to Matthew Stafford, but really they have the important thing with the Sean McVay offense that they've adapted since 2018 is the ability to counterpunch whenever defenses initially have their number. And really they have all the different skill sets that you need, a lot of different flavors, a lot of different answers to if they're going to go man heavy, you maybe use the more physical receivers. Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson can obviously work underneath in the zones too. So they have answers if you take things in a way initially. And I think that's really important. That's important whenever you're trying to repeat and you get in situations and it's crunch time and you really need people to come through for you.
Yeah, we're looking at, I was looking at the results from last season. You know, you had Cooper Kupp, you had Van Jefferson. Do you think that Van Jefferson is potentially like a guy that will be, let's just say, starting in the NFL in 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably a 1,000-yard receiver on another team when he has a higher volume of targets probably. But just on this Rams offense, he might be capped at, especially if they re-sign Odell, between 600 and 800 yards a year.
Yeah.
And you see him with the deep touchdowns. That's kind of a – that's not really something you saw from him in Florida or Ole Miss. So it's definitely something he's added to his game. And if something happens to Cooper Kupp, I think he'd be a great replacement in that regard, short-term or maybe even long-term if need be.
And some people also have had issues, I think, with drafting Tutu Atwell in the second round last year, ever since the pick was made. And so if you were against the pick, you've had no reason to change your mind because Tutu Atwell hasn't really gotten onto the field. And if you were fine with the pick or even for the pick, you know, you just don't have really anything to add to your argument other than, you know, Tutu Atwell, you don't, I don't judge anybody good or bad. I don't judge you on your rookie season. You know, it's like something to keep an eye on. Maybe, you know, rookie season is like, oh, I'll put a pin in that. And maybe it'll continue to be the case, but guys are going through so much that first year that, you know, and it can just be a certain circumstances that make a guy look really good in his first year. And then all of a sudden he disappears, or, you know, a guy like Tutu Atwell, if he gets injured, or, you know, just a guy like Van Jefferson, who didn't play that much as it during his rookie season. I asked you about Van Jefferson in 4 years. Let me ask you this. Is Tutu Atwell starting in the NFL in 2 years?
Man, I have no idea on that one. And I know we say he had got no playing time, but in the preseason with Bryce Perkins, he was one of the most targeted receivers during the three preseason games. So he definitely got a lot of looks back then, and he hauled in a lot of catches. So that's at least a little bit of a positive note and a positive development there. So obviously Matthew Stafford is a much better quarterback than Bryce Perkins. We'll see what his role with the Rams is moving forward. Perkins, of course, but maybe with a little bit more arm talent, the ability to push the ball down the field, that's something Perkins struggles with. Maybe you really see the full Tutu Atwell, but the guy hasn't even had a chance. Let's not be too tough on him yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's give him a chance. I really like Tutu Atwell's story. I think he's got a lot of, you know, I hate to say cliche, meaningless terms like heart, but, you know, I just think he's a football player. You know, he's the smallest football player maybe in the league, but I still think he's like a football player. And if you give him a chance, he could really become a fan favorite. We talk a little bit here about the offense. Let's go to the defense. I'm going to share my screen again and take a look at the depth chart here at the defense, JB. Defensive line. It's a notable loss, Sebastian Joseph Day, even though Sebastian Joseph Day was lost at the middle of last season and the Rams went on to win the Super Bowl and were fine. Aaron Donald, Greg Gaines, A'shaun Robinson. And then you've got some of these unknowns here, like Bobby Brown, who is one of the youngest players in the NFL. I think he might have been the youngest player in the NFL last year, at least maybe the youngest drafted player in the NFL last year. And still going to be one of the youngest guys in the league. And it's kind of an undersized defensive tackle. Michael Hoyt, Jonah Williams, Ernest Brown IV, Marquise Copeland. So defensive line, you know, the Rams, it's a lot of the same names. Again, not a lot of difference here, as there wasn't in the last couple of years when a guy would, you know, when these guys, they become really, really familiar once they become conditioned in your brain through so many training camps and the draft and, you know, the practice squad. And the Rams really hang on to guys and commit to developing them like they did with Greg Gaines. And like they're doing it seemingly with Michael Hoyt and Jonah Williams making the roster last year. And then Ernest Brown, you know, coming back, even though he was cut last year, coming back again. Marquise Copeland sticking around since 2019. And he's got a chance here to really make the roster and make some noise. Of course, the big name at linebacker as an addition, Bobby Wagner, right after the loss of Von Miller, and Ernest Jones, Leonard Floyd, expected to be starters there. I would say the other position, outside linebacker, far from decided, of course. Here at OurLads.com, they've got Terrell Lewis, but we know how unlikely it may be for Terrell Lewis to be starting, I think, at this point, you know, until he proves that he can play consistently and, you know, without being limited and have limitations. You know, he hasn't proven that quite yet in the NFL. Justin Hollins, Traven Howard, Christian Roseboom, again, a guy who left, came back. And then looking at the cornerback spots, Robert Rochelle, Jalen Ramsey, David Long, potentially in those cornerback spots, because there's not really a lot of other knowns here. Kareem Orr, Tyler Hall, clearly I would say still a need to get some more depth and competition at the cornerback spots, but the Rams went into last season with David Long and it looked to be a problem right from training camp and preseason. The whole time it looked like David Long could be an issue for the Rams secondary, and the Rams didn't really do anything about it. You know, they just said, okay, you know, we're going to mitigate these issues by having really great players elsewhere and making up for them. And, you know, it kind of works. So that seems to be the case again right now. And Kareem Moore had a good camp and everything in a preseason last year. So maybe he'll work his way up. And then you've got Jordan Fuller returning from injury, Taylor Rapp, Nick Scott, Terrell Burgess. Looking at the defense here, what stands out to you now, JB? Do you think that when you've got Bobby Wagner, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Greg Gaines, A'shaun Robinson, Jalen Ramsey, Jordan Fuller, do you think that maybe the Rams could even have a better defense than offense next season? Do you think that that might end up being the case?
Yeah, it all starts with the ability to stop the quarterback, right? And part of that's coverage. And then it's also twofold with how much pressure you can get. And it requires elite athletes at the edge position. And they lost an elite athlete in Von Miller. And really they had kind of bookend elite athletes in Leonard Floyd and Von Miller. So that's a big loss with where the Rams draft in the third round or later. You can't really find it. You're either going to find the elite athletes who are also good football players go very, very early on in the draft. So you're probably looking at a project, a great athlete who is pretty raw at football still. So it's not something you can just necessarily go out and find. Hopefully maybe they can find a veteran like Jerry Hughes or something to plug in the short term, but they did draft these developmental players a year ago, the Bobby Browns, the Ernest Brown, Robert Rochelle. Those guys are freak athletes for the most part that have a lot to learn about football. And, you know, it's really on the coaching staff to plug those in. And really there's no reason to think that they can't do that because they've done it year after year under Les Snead and Sean McVay since 2017.
Let's say then, where do you stand here on the Rams? You know, the Rams won the Super Bowl last year, very close to not even reaching the Super Bowl and not winning the Super Bowl. So it's like we can judge them off of that result or we can judge them off of process and whether or not the process that Les Snead and Sean McVay are going through every year is working. Hard to deny that making two Super Bowls in 4 years, winning one of them. And really, I think three of those seasons to continue to have winning records and make the playoffs, you know, 11-5, 13-3 and 9-7 with Jared Goff. I'm sorry. I think that's pretty impressive, you know, and I know that there are still people who have a lot of Goff belief and that's totally fine. Nothing against Jared Goff, but that much success with Jared Goff and then the first year to get Matthew Stafford to go out and win it. JB, I mean, how do you rate the process here for Les Snead and Sean McVay? Do you think that they've kind of earned our benefit of the doubt as they go along?
Yeah, it's hard. You really have to take winning the Super Bowl out of the equation just because so many things have to go your way, have to break your way. Injuries. We saw if Odell Beckham gets hurt in the NFC Championship game versus the Super Bowl, maybe we're not having the same kind of conversations, of course. So these things are on a razor's edge and they can break your way or they cannot break your way. But at the end of the day, Matthew Stafford, he's kind of a volatile quarterback. You're going to get his best days. You're going to get some rough days. We saw against the Vikings, he could have easily had, you know, 5-6 interceptions possibly. So, yeah. You know, he was one of the better quarterbacks from start to finish in the playoffs, but you could also get one of those games where things fall apart. And I know it was a possibility entering the playoffs last year. Just because they got it done this year doesn't mean it's, you know, completely out of the equation. So certainly I can see that doing him and eventually, but really if they can put it together, that high level of play for extended periods of time, they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL, hands down, year over year. So, but how long can you depend on that? Of course.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to deny the, you know, if you're just looking 1 year ahead, then it's hard to deny the Rams have Stafford, Kupp, Allen Robinson, Donald, you know, Wagner, Ramsey, Floyd. It's like you go along, you know, they managed to keep Joseph Noteboom, all these things where it seems like if you're just looking 1 year ahead, it looks great. But if you're looking 3 years ahead, no matter how you slice it, you know, increased cap, you know, restructuring contracts, got guys retiring, getting released, whatever, no matter how you slice it, you know, the Rams are going to have to really, I think, find great value out of their third and day three picks, you know, because there are going to be so many complications with having the dead money that the Rams have managed to get away from year after year. But you've got, like I wrote recently, over $100 million committed to just three players in 2024, over $150 or $160 million committed to six players. And even if you keep restructuring and moving stuff around, that just kind of maybe ties you to players in their 30s and mid 30s that you don't want to necessarily be tied to for $20, $25 million. So that's one of the things that Les Snead is, that's, you know, that's such a huge issue for the front office. Tony Pastores, I need to make sure to keep mentioning his name, as the commenters have been reminding me to keep mentioning that it's Tony Pastores who has to do this work and has done a great job so far of, you know, keeping the Rams afloat through all this stuff. But speaking of, you know, building, rebuilding, planning, a lot of the other teams in the NFC seem to be more in a rebuilding stage, it seems. And the contenders, I mean, you've got 45-year-old Tom Brady, you've got 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers, you know, you've got the Cowboys who are so schizophrenic in terms of winning and losing. You know, you never just know what's going to happen with the Cowboys. Briefly, before we start looking more closely at these teams, JB, do you see any big changes happening in the NFC, a power rising up from these ashes that the Rams really have to be concerned about? Or if the Rams keep, you know, all their P's and Q's in line, should they just walk right to the Super Bowl?
Sure. You have no idea what you're going to get out of the division rival 49ers. Probably they could be extremely high end, and we could have outcomes similar to Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City with Trey Lance, or maybe he's not quite ready. Maybe he's not exactly what the 49ers thought they were. That's really a stark difference between what the Rams got by trading for a veteran like Matthew Stafford, mostly a known commodity. You know what his floor is, you know what his ceiling could be. But Trey Lance, we have no idea. It's a wide range of outcomes. Could be great for the Rams, could be terrible. Maybe Trey Lance is a pain in their backside for years and years and years. But also another team that has me a little bit worried is Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings. They start retooling. Kind of at first I was a little worried. It reminded me of the Atlanta Falcons last year, how bad a roster in bad shape. They could have maybe unloaded Matt Ryan and got some draft assets there. Instead, they kind of doubled down and built around Arthur Smith. Didn't work out. Now they're tearing it down this year. But really, the Vikings, they've acquired quite a bit of talent. And Kirk Cousins, we know he's going to give you possibly a top 10 quarterback performance, maybe in clutch time. Crunch time, he doesn't get it done. But they're going to make it interesting, I think. They have the receiver talent. They have some pass rushers now. They just need bodies at corner. But if they can get solid seasons out of some players, they can really give the Rams some trouble. And we saw the Rams and Vikings game last year was pretty close, but you know, Matthew Stafford had one of his not one of his better games for the season for sure. So maybe you get their best on best. Who knows what's going to happen? But definitely with the Packers looking deteriorated this so far, maybe they're going to reload in the draft. But things are looking promising for the Vikings for sure.
Yeah, just looking at some of the players they added last year in the draft, you've got Christian Darrisaw. Offensive line has been a big issue for the Vikings. So maybe if Darrisaw takes a step forward, and then other names as well. But the Vikings is interesting. Let me ask you this. Would you say that you think between these two quarterbacks, who do you think is in a better position, generally speaking, as a quarterback to win games and finally get wins in the playoffs, Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr?
Well, you're asking one of the bigger Derek Carr fans. Devontae Adams and Darren Waller. Yeah. Just think about what Derek Carr went through last year and the amount of adversity he went through to take his team to the playoffs. Lost his head coach. Darren Waller missed quite a bit of time. Lost one of his best receivers in Henry Ruggs. And really, he was thrown to nobody and still got the job done. Zay Jones, who was on the brink of being out of the NFL, was one of their better wide receivers. Bryan Edwards, something you never heard of. So definitely a big Derek Carr fan. I think he's things are trending in the right direction for him, and I'm pretty happy about that. So feels good.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting in the AFC West, which is fitting, actually, because the Rams will play against the AFC West next year. And that's going to be an interesting division. So looking at the Rams and some of their opponents, AFC West, you've got the Broncos, the Chiefs, you've got the Chargers, and you've got the Raiders. You've got, as you said, the improved Raiders offense with Devontae Adams going out there, Josh McDaniels getting his second chance to turn into, you know, a good head coach, I guess. You've got the Broncos adding Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett, the head coach, who was the offensive coordinator for the Packers. You've got the Chiefs, as always, the Chiefs. And then you've got the Chargers with former Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley and Justin Herbert, you know, who's just someone who I'm not at all surprised to see succeeding at the level that he's been succeeding at. And I think when he was going into his rookie season, I said he would win an MVP within the first 5 years, and he could do it. You know, this year he could do it this year, especially if the Chargers win that division. So the Rams have to play all of these teams. JB, how would you, are any of those teams finishing worse than 8-9?
Yeah, I mean, what are the Chiefs doing? The Rams are collecting special players, and you call them maybe chess pieces, where Jalen Ramsey takes on, he can take your best wide receiver away. He can take away a whole side of the field. Maybe it takes two people to block Aaron Donald on a given play. And definitely when you have someone like Tyreek Hill, it requires, you know, maybe you're bracketing coverage against him, using multiple defenders to take him away, and you really have to scheme around him. So that's something the Chiefs struggled with last year, is when teams started to scheme against Tyreek Hill. They really didn't have a second option. Travis Kelce is pretty good, but they were missing the loss of Sammy Watkins. And instead of counterpunching, for some reason, their solution was to trade away the chess piece. Hmm. And while the Rams are collecting special players, the Chiefs are getting rid of them. And I think that's going to be a tough loss for them. I'm not sure I'm on board with that, but they could also make me look pretty silly in August and September and moving forward. But I think that's a move they're going to regret. Certainly, whenever they're just clearing cap space to keep guys like Frank Clark, Joe Tooney, they're not special players like Tyreek Hill.
Very true. And what do you think of the other three?
Yeah, I'm maybe not as high on the Chargers. Definitely, I think Brandon Staley, out of all the bright young Sean McVay head coaches, defense is obviously the most volatile side of the football. If you have a good offensive staff, maybe they're going to leave for other coaching positions, and it might be hard for him to build the longest sustaining winner out of all the, you know, the Zach Taylors and the Kevin O'Connells of the world. So, and also Justin Herbert, I understand we're anointing him. We think he's a top five quarterback in the NFL, but if he was so good, why couldn't he get the job done at the end of the season and get them into the playoffs over a middling Derek Carr and the Raiders, you know?
Well, you know, I think, I dare not blame the sweetest man in the world, Justin Herbert, for the Chargers. And may I say, with all due respect, Brandon Staley's fault. So, you know, to all due respect to a very smart defensive mind and someone who did a great job with the Rams, I think squarely the fault of not making the playoffs has to go on to Brandon Staley. And what I love about Brandon Staley is that he wouldn't, I think, disagree with me, but certainly you're right. Justin Herbert needs to step up and be he needs to take the next level. You know, I'm not surprised by the production, but yeah, he needs to go to the next level in terms of what you just said. And whether or not the Raiders and the Broncos, I don't know that necessarily I saw Russell Wilson as the difference maker for the Broncos than on the same level, anywhere near Matthew Stafford and the Rams. I don't think that the Broncos were nearly as close as the Rams were. And I don't know that Russell Wilson's getting nearly the offensive upgrades in Denver that he had in Seattle. So there is definitely upgrades, but I just don't see if it's like, and it's not going to be like Cooper Kupp. I don't see any Cooper Kupps over there, but we'll see what happens with, and maybe the Broncos will continue to make a trade or something like that. Sticking over to the NFC, the Rams will also play against the NFC South, which had a lot of turmoil this offseason and change and then not change. What's your take on the NFC South? Will any of those teams other than the Bucks have a winning record? You've got the Panthers so far still sticking with Sam Darnold and Matt Rhule. You've got the Falcons, who traded Matt Ryan, and they're going with Marcus Mariota. And nobody talked about how bad Arthur Smith's first season went. So we'll see how that goes in year two. And then you've got the Saints, who lose Sean Payton, but apparently feel pretty good about, you know, they don't have a lot of change. You know, Dennis Allen's been there forever. Pete Carmichael's been there forever. And so, you know, see, and then they retain Jameis Winston. But, you know, the Saints made a trade today as well. I don't think that, you know, I see a lot of people having takes on the trade, but I just don't see that there's any take to be had both teams just had different draft position and financial needs, and they moved some stuff around. So that's something that happened today. Is it possible that the Bucks don't win that division?
You know, barring significant injuries, probably not. I guess we do forget the Panthers went on quite the hot start last year, and things really, the wheels came off when Sam Darnold, you know, he fell apart for the most part. So maybe they can get a quarterback in the draft. Jimmy Garoppolo probably doesn't move the needle much if that's what their option is. Baker Mayfield, I think there's reason to be optimistic there. So that's definitely, if your options are Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo, that I think that's who I'd lean towards. But, and with the Saints, they've just been so good for so long, racked up the wins, and they've won as many games as Sean McVay has with the Rams, if you go back to so many years. But they're just, it's hard to see them really competing. So barring injury, I think the Buccaneers, they're going to have a cakewalk, and they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're going to be a formidable team for the NFC championship race for sure.
And let's do this with every division. Let's do this. Do the Rams have a better defense than any team in the NFC South? Or every team in the NFC South?
I'd probably go every team. The Buccaneers and Panthers are probably up there, but definitely, I think you have the star corner and you have the pass rush maybe that the Buccaneers don't offer. Not a huge fan of Jason Pierre-Paul, something like that. So.
And do you think the first Super Bowl win, despite the erratic nature of Matthew Stafford? We know that Tom Brady is Tom Brady, but the Rams, do they have a better quarterback than any team in the NFC South?
Yeah, definitely would take Tom Brady, just the consistent tried and true. But, you know, the Rams did, that game wasn't even close until we had the Cam Akers fumbles and everything else. So the Rams really have beat the Bucks in recent games, and it'd be hard not to favor them there. So,
and let's do that with the AFC West. Defense, quarterback, where do the Rams, do you think, rank defensively in the AFC West?
Probably would take the Broncos. I know Patrick Surtain, he's an emerging player. Definitely they have the pass rush too. Yeah, they have a lot to build around with Russell Wilson. It's not just on the offensive side of the football, I think. But also the Raiders with Max Crosby, and now they have Chandler Jones. That pass rush is a very important aspect of stopping the quarterback, and that's really what the modern NFL is tailored towards. So pass rush always gives you a chance. You know, that's how we saw the undefeated Tom Brady and the Patriots fall to someone like the New York Giants with Michael Strahan and OCU Menorah back in the day.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see the Raiders, you know. I mean, they're the Raiders. So it's like, are they going to, you know, them sucking would just not be surprising. They're the Raiders. And people would be rooting for part of it too, because they like hating Josh McDaniels. So it's like, there's that. And the other hand, if the Raiders win 15 games, I'd almost not be surprised, because you go, well, they did put in all this effort, and, you know, sometimes you know to win 15 games, any team has to get lucky. So maybe they also just get lucky a few extra times, and then are also just a very good team. They have the solid parts there, as you mentioned, adding and seemingly making better additions. I don't know how I feel about giving all that up for Devontae Adams. You know, that's a lot to sort of make this dream connection happen from Fresno State, but it's for a guy who's 29, 30 years old, but very interesting to watch. And that's something that the Rams, you know, we'll get a close up here, as I said, in the AFC West. If we go up even further to the NFC North, you've got Aaron Rodgers. You mentioned the Vikings. How much worse do you think the Packers are without Devontae Adams and without Aaron Rodgers having a Devontae Adams?
Sure. I mean, can you really answer that question? You assume they have a plan, right? That they acquired all these draft picks. That has to be their plan going to the draft, is just getting weapons and getting pass catchers for Aaron Rodgers. And really, that might not make them dangerous in 2022, but definitely moving forward as those guys age and develop, that build a rapport with Rodgers, that's going to be hard to stop eventually. Possibly, obviously, right now we don't have the answer, but yeah. And then the Vikings receivers are probably the best core in the NFL right now.
Yeah. And so How do you feel about some former Rams over there with the Lions? You know, you've got Jared Goff, you've got Michael Brockers, you've got Brad Holmes. You've got a very strong Rams contingent going on in Detroit. And also they started to look decent in the final six games or so of the season last year. Jared Goff may be doing enough to, you know, earn another season as the starter there, or maybe a starter somewhere else if the Lions choose to draft a quarterback or go in a different direction. But what are your thoughts on maybe the Lions being a surprise team?
Yeah, definitely think Jared Goff earned that second season as a starter towards the end of the year. And really, once they acquired Josh Reynolds off waivers, remember the Rams put in a claim for him and the Lions had higher priority. Once they ousted Anthony Lynn, who's now in the division with the Rams with the 49ers, they really took off. So definitely you have to be encouraged with what they've put on paper. And I think they just need to continue to acquire weapons. I think they signed DJ Chark, right? That's a good downfield threat. And we forget that. I mean, we say Jared Goff can't push the ball down the field, but he did just fine with Brandon Cooks when they were combined back in 2018 with the Super Bowl. He struggled with the Rams whenever they lost that deep threat. And yeah, hopefully the Lions, they can push the ball down the field and he can earn another year as a starter. But definitely think you should be optimistic. And maybe with the Packers descending, the Lions can, you know, they wild card potential for sure there, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking here, I'm doing a horrible job of navigating the website, but looking at the Lions, it's just to refresh myself here, you know, offensive line, maybe one of the best in the NFC, if not the NFL. We've got Frank Ragnow, one of the top, maybe three centers in the NFL. You've got Penei Sewell from last year, of course. You've got Taylor Decker, a very solid left tackle. And I think Jonah Jackson and Halavaitai are pretty good guards. And then, you know, that's one of the things that you can kind of expect with Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, I think, is to build up that offensive line. So if you've got such a strong offensive line, if you do are able to funnel an offense through a DeAndre Swift having, a very fantastic, you know, I think he's got that ceiling to be one of the best running backs in the NFL as soon as, obviously with running backs, it's always not just like as soon as next season, it's like with running backs, it's like it better be next season because you don't know if there's going to be a season after that. But the Lions also added DJ Chark and defensively, you know, probably where there's more work to be done. Don't know what the status really is of Jeffrey Okuda, the number three pick from only 2 years ago, and if he's going to, you know, sort of reach that potential that so many people thought that he had and feel stay healthy and, you know, what's going to go on there. But certainly with the NFC landscape changing as it has been, the Lions could grab one of those wild card spots. You know, you got seven playoff teams, so that means nine teams don't make the playoffs. Almost 50% of the league makes the playoffs now, so it's not as much of a stretch. We're looking now here at the so I would say in the NFC North, JB, we're looking at Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to take the cake for each of us in terms of being the best quarterback, maybe, if he were in the NFC West. But Matthew Stafford versus Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, Jared Goff, seems like maybe that would be an easier decision. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, I think they're in a similar territory. Where they diverge, of course, is crunch time. We've seen Matthew Stafford turn into a completely different human being, and he was absolutely absurd in the playoffs. You know, when the game was tied, seconds winding down on the clock, he hits Cooper Kupp deep for the game-winning field goal to set that up. And, of course, in the Super Bowl, they needed to score to take the lead. He got the job done. That was one of the greatest comebacks, the no-look pass. It was all there. But really, Kirk Cousins hasn't had those moments so far in his career, and he's a good quarterback, you know, first through third quarter. Not outside of primetime games, of course, too. But just if you take all their passes and you add them up and you watch them in isolation, you could potentially get to the path where Kirk Cousins is a superior quarterback, but that's not really how games are won in the NFL, of course. And that's probably why, yeah, Matthew Stafford gets the nod there.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I think there's just something, you know, about that moment, because I think, like, we never really calculate the pressure of, you know, playing in the NFL at the most scrutinized position at the most scrutinized times. And Matthew Stafford is just, it's scary. I mean, he's probably at that point of like really being a sociopath because, you know, it's like he's got no, you know, he's got total chill in at the most pivotal moments of the game when everyone's watching and when everyone, if he could check Twitter, he would be appalled at all the people saying like negative things about Matthew Stafford after three quarters. But doesn't matter. None of that stuff seems to matter to him. Goes out there, and as much as he can make a mistake, like you said, he can also. It's like it just doesn't matter to him. You know, having those mistakes just don't matter to him. Go out there and throw four interceptions as long as he wins the game. And I think that's what you need in a quarterback, although you don't need the four picks, of course, either. That's still pretty, I think he was pretty good with the football, relatively speaking, this year. And looking around at the league, 15 interceptions, pretty, you know, common. I mean, at this point, like anything around there, Tom Brady, anybody almost is throwing these picks. And I think you cannot be risk averse in the NFL anymore. You got to go for it. You got to take your shots. You got to take your chances. You got to have those guys downfield who you trust, like Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. And for the Bengals, you know, Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins and all this, you know, you got to have those guys downfield. And you also got to take those shots and you got to have trust and you got to have faith. And sometimes it's going to go poorly. But for the Rams and Stafford last year, more often than not, it didn't. Let's take a look at the NFC East then. Well, defense for the Rams, and we're trying to get into this mode of thinking if the Rams might have a top five defense this season. In the NFC North, you've got the Packers, pretty solid defense so far under Matt LaFleur every year. You've got some great players out there like Jair Alexander and Kenny Clark. You mentioned the Vikings and their strengths on defense. They ended up so far keeping Danielle Hunter, and so like they didn't lose that very major piece to their defense. He needs to stay healthy, though. The Lions, I mentioned, they're kind of middling still unless they go out there and prove it. And, you know, a lot of these players just need to go out there and prove it. And then you got the Bears, who classically would you think, you know, classically a Bears defense is good, but yeah, the Bears got a lot of, I think, issues right now, and we'll see what happens and maybe what you think there. But do the Rams have a better defense than all the teams in the North?
Yeah, Vikings have improved, certainly. Za'Darius Smith goes across town. Someone you didn't mention for the Packers is Rashawn Gary. He really had a great game against the Rams when they played the middle of the season last year, so had a big sack on Andrew Whitworth, I believe, if I remember correctly. So whenever you have pass rush and you have the coverage players like Jair Alexander, and yeah, they have other guys too, Darnell Savage in the back end. Whenever you have those in tandem, it makes you a dangerous defense. You can have good days, you can have bad days. It's all a matter of who shows up and who wins the football game. So
yeah, very good points there on the Packers and the Vikings as well. You know, definitely every team, you know, I remember that Rashawn Gary pick and people being really down on it in the first round and thinking like, this is a reach and hasn't been a reach. Finally, the NFC East, always the big question mark of all the divisions. I think you think that they've got good teams. You think that they've got terrible teams. The good teams are terrible. The terrible teams win Super Bowls. It's like all over the map, it seems, with the NFC East. So as easy it is to sit here and look at it and go like, well, the Cowboys have a lot of talent and they've added this guy and that guy. They won the division last year. No team seems to win the NFC East back-to-back ever. And if the Giants win the division next year, I don't think anybody would be surprised, even though it's the Giants and it's Daniel Jones and everything like that. Washington adds Carson Wentz. The Eagles have stuck so far with Jalen Hurts. Looking at the NFC East, do you see a potential Super Bowl winner coming out of this division?
It's hard to say, certainly. Defense is volatile. That's something I really believe in. And so Washington, 2 years ago, they had a vaunted defense. It, on paper, it looked the same coming into 2021, but just fell apart. So definitely you can expect perhaps a bounce back year. Maybe they get more production on offense, and now they're a playoff contender that we're talking about. Dallas, if you subscribe to the notion that, you know, Dak Prescott is this borderline top 10 quarterback, why would you ever want to see him without top-notch playmakers? You trade Amari Cooper away. I understand the salary cap constraints, but really you don't get a huge return for him there. We wonder what they're doing. I understand Ezekiel Elliott was an important player for them, but really at this point, he's kind of keeping them from making complimentary moves on offense as well. So it's hard to see a real Super Bowl contender coming out of this division. You really have no idea what you have in Daniel Jones. I wouldn't be too down on him. He was playing pretty well last year, and they signed Kenny Galladay. He doesn't really make much of an impact. He was hurt, and they have a pretty good wide receiver core, but they just weren't on the field all at the same time. So it's going to be a competitive division. Really, any team can win it any given year. That's kind of how it seems with those guys. But really, are they going to push the Rams? Are they going to push the Bucks or the Vikings and Packers? Probably not, but it's going to be an interesting race. They really get a lot of the media coverage, and they're going to be one of the teams we talk about most of the time. So,
you know, you've been talking about a lot of these great defensive players out there in the NFL, and with Washington, you know, that's all they've been focused on many years. And Ron Rivera, you know, known for having some great defenses, and you've got year after year adding guys like Chase Young and Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. And, you know, the dream was to have this front seven that nobody could stop. And you know, is this possibly a year where Washington could come out and have a number, you know, maybe even a number one defense? Is the ceiling that good for Washington? Or how do you see maybe that team fitting in defensively?
Yeah, I think it's possible that Washington can really take a step forward. That's kind of how things work in the NFL, is as soon as you count a team out because they had a down year, they bounce right back and they're a force. So Chase Young, he can wreck games. He can have a defensive player of the year type campaign. And I don't think anyone would be surprised. And that's really all it takes to turn things around. It's a league of parity, right? So,
yeah. And definitely, I think they could be a sleeping giant defensively. Carson Wentz and the ceiling offensively is another story. Maybe the Eagles, you never count out the Eagles, 9-8 last year. You just can't count them out for some goddamn reason. You know, nobody really knows why, but sometimes they just go and win a bunch of games and maybe the Super Bowl. And so we'll see maybe what the Eagles do. Defensively, where would you rank the Rams defense, you think, in the NFC East?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably the best. They have the most star players, and not just in terms of rushing the passer, but also in coverage. So maybe that's where Washington's lacking a bit. They might have the ability to stop the run. They might have the pass rush, but they don't have the star players in the secondary, the Jalen Ramseys, the Jordan Fullers that the Rams have in place. So maybe if it's the second corner is a concern for the Rams, maybe a team could sneak in, but definitely think Washington's on top there.
Yeah, and quarterbacks, how do you rank the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think I'd take Matthew Stafford over all of those guys. So, but also, you don't know you have him, Daniel Jones. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a believer out of people this year, certainly with, you know, Brian Daboll and what he's done for Josh Allen, of course.
Let me take a quick look here and share my screen again for the defenses. I wish I could pull up some better advanced stats. I don't have the advanced login stats right here right now, but this is a good maybe baseline to start looking at teams that didn't allow a lot of points last year. And then, you know, we can use our own common sense and opinions and knowledge about these specific teams. I forgot that the Bills had the number one scoring defense. I would have not guessed that last year. And the Bills go out there and add Von Miller. Of course, the Patriots and Bill Belichick are always going to be in the conversation. As you mentioned, the Broncos, not surprising to see them allow a few, you know, not a lot of points last year, although they did fire Vic Fangio. So there are changes happening. The Saints also making a change at head coach, although one that was under different circumstances. And I think the Saints certainly could be one of those sleeping giant underrated defensive teams next season. You talked about the Buccaneers, the Titans. I think that's one that maybe people have a harder time seeing happen 2 years in a row, maybe, I guess. That's just my guess. Same with the Cowboys, the Chiefs. And this is where all of a sudden I think the defenses can go almost any other way. You can go way up or way down. You know, the 49ers, a lot of these teams could go either way. But the Rams, you know, in terms of points allowed, you know, just 15th last year in points allowed. Again, very rudimentary way to measure defense. But I think anybody watching the Rams last year, week after week, could agree that the defense had some work to do. And, you know, certainly changed when Von Miller arrived. And now Von Miller's gone and Bobby Wagner comes in and steps in for Troy Reader, which is a monumental difference. I think Bobby Wagner is an interesting addition. He's not the player that he was, you know, maybe four, even, you know, maybe even 2 years ago, three, you know, if you're not, definitely not 5 years ago, but maybe with a change of scenery and a new defensive coordinator, he could be an all-pro type inside linebacker again for a year or two. And that's how long the Rams will be pretty much committed to him. Maybe just 1 year, maybe two. We'll see if there's anything beyond that. But JB, as we look here again and just sort of briefly see some of these teams here defensively again, where do you think the Rams at this point would fall in for you for the NFC? Are they a top three defense in the NFC? Which teams do you see maybe ahead of the Rams, if any?
Sure. I think if we're just going off scoring totals for last year, of course, the offense did put them in some bad situations, some unfavorable situations where it kind of became not routine, but frequent for the Rams to be backed up maybe on the 20-yard line and Matthew Stafford turn the ball over, put them in. Really, that's a hard thing for your defense to ask for them to overcome, especially early in games. So maybe that's a reason for it. But also the defense in the second half of the season, much better than the first half and especially into the playoffs. So once that pass rusher got going and working in tandem with the coverage, they're formidable. They're hard to get yardage on, hard to score points on. So definitely like the Packers defense. Definitely think the Vikings have made moves to both. They need coverage players. You can never have too many, of course, but rushing the passer is going to be great for them. And, you know, the 49ers, they have a pretty good defense. I don't think we've talked about them much, but You have Samson Ebukam, you have Nick Bosa, of course, and they have coverage guys too. So they've given the Rams their fair share of troubles. And maybe, you know, you have Joseph Noteboom. His first year is a full starter. Definitely their edge rushers could cause you problems too, more than maybe Andrew Whitworth wasn't a problem so much.
Yeah, you know, we didn't talk about the NFC West really at all, because I think it's a given that the Rams are the favorites, but definitely not a given that they will beat out the 49ers, I would say, right? Like, if you had to pick any team in the entire conference that would be the biggest problem, it would be those 49ers, especially if Trey Lance, if you were to just get, you know, like Lamar Jackson's initial season and a half with the Ravens, it's not that outlandish, you know, to think that the 49ers could do something similar with Trey Lance. So would you say that this is maybe the most formidable opponent that the Rams could have in the entire conference?
Sure. Everything that gave the Rams problems is still there. Their ability to stay committed to the run, they have a lot of room for error. Just because they're going to keep it close, they're going to shorten the clock. Maybe his floor is someone like a Jalen Hurts or the early Lamar. And, of course, there's a ceiling for so much more, especially how great that scheme is, that there's going to be plays to be made. Like they're very great, the Shanahan offense, at scheming separation up four receivers for those big plays. So if he can get production on the ground, move the chains, and in tandem with the zone running scheme, they're going to have a pretty high base level of production there anyways. But when those things really emerge and come together and you get the explosive plays off of that, that's going to really take them to the next level. And that's something they didn't have before, but really I think his floor is probably the Jalen Hurts, early Lamar level. And there's the possibility and there's the potential for so much more.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about an offense that also has Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and just those two guys. I mean, if you held a vote today, I think Deebo Samuel might be the NFL fans' like favorite receiver, and George Kittle probably would be the number one, you know, still number one tight end in the NFL. And if Trey Lance is the 14th best quarterback in the NFL next season, that's going to be really dangerous. That's also a pretty high ceiling. I mean, that's a pretty high expectation. I think Trey Lance didn't play very much college football, which I still can't believe. That's got to be the opponent to think about. Now, going into last year, we were saying the Seahawks would be a team to be worried about, and that the Cardinals would, it was unanimous, Cardinals fourth place team, and that wasn't the case. Are we sleeping on the Cardinals, assuming that Kyler Murray returns?
That's going to be a no for me. I think something, of course, you know, the homerism, but something that in hindsight, they made the push to sign J.J. Watt a year ago, and maybe it came at the cost of Chandler Jones and Hassan Reddick this offseason, because Maybe you couldn't afford all three. Maybe you could have had Jones. You could have had Reddick instead of this aging J.J. Watt. You're not really sure what he had. He obviously missed most of the regular season, came back for the playoff game against the Rams in the wild card round. And, you know, that one was never close from the very beginning. So he's a declining aging player. Chandler Jones, he's not exactly spring chicken, of course, but you just wonder in hindsight if the opportunity cost was there to make that move and what the trade-off is and the after effects that's going to affect the team this time around.
Now, so at the end here, would we say that Matthew Stafford, after Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, is the third best quarterback in the NFC?
Probably not.
Who else is competing for that third spot?
Sure, I'm not the biggest Matthew Stafford fan, and that's probably not fair. But definitely Kirk Cousins probably is in the same ballpark as Matthew Stafford, as we talked about, just the divergent in the clutch time situations. You want to pull up the depth chart possibly?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, here are the all the quarterbacks in the NFC and the NFL. I'll just go this way. All the quarterbacks out here, you got in the NFC East, you're going to have Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz. I don't know why this, I don't have dial up. Okay. I don't know why it's so slow. I did not downgrade to dial up, but okay. Yeah. You've got Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts. You've got Justin Fields, Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Marcus Mariota, Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, Tom Brady, Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, and then Drew Locke in the Seahawks.
You could really call that a brain drain, the amount of talent that's been lost to the AFC. That's, yep. If you put that up next to last year, that's a pretty stark comparison. But yeah, definitely, I think I'd throw Kirk Cousins into the equation. Kyler falls somewhere in there. Dak, same. It just really, any given year, they're those borderline top 10 quarterbacks. You might get a promising performance out of them. There's going to be some volatility there, but depending on their supporting cast, and maybe they rank 15th, maybe they're, you know, 6th, 7th the next year. So that might be enough for you to win a championship, depending on the construction of your roster at the time, depending on injuries. But all four of those guys can probably get the job done. So yeah, Matthew Stafford, I think it's probably safe to say at this point, he's the third best quarterback in the NFC just based off what they were able to accomplish last year. And the Rams are the best team in the NFL, so they're not at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you are sort of like in that same tier as Dak Prescott and Kirk Cousins and Kyler Murray, if you're in that tier, but you're the only one that has won a playoff game or, you know, and especially won a Super Bowl, then at least you've got that proof on your resume, right? You got that proof that says like, I didn't fold in the playoffs. You know, I didn't fold in the Super Bowl. And so it doesn't change the talent maybe level like you're talking about. It's just that he's got it on his resume. And so that gives him the nod maybe in there. But if we go over to the AFC, you mentioned all the talent over there. I wonder, where would we rank Matthew Stafford among the AFC quarterbacks only? You've got Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson. You've got Ryan Tannehill, Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, and then Davis Mills. You've got Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Tua, and Josh Allen. Much harder competition here for the top three quarterbacks. Any initial feelings here of where you would place Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to take him over any of the AFC West quarterbacks, probably. Maybe Derek Carr, you can exchange those out, but there's a possibility that if you had to put Matthew Stafford in the AFC West, he wouldn't even be a starter, perhaps. But, of course, you take those guys out, you take out the stars like Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Lamar. I think you take – well, Lamar had a down year, of course, but you know the upside is there that he could have that MVP-type season. Really not out of the equation for him. But, really, we're expecting big things from Joe Burrow. They came out of nowhere this year, and really you should just expect more of the same from him. And Josh Allen probably up there in the equation for the best quarterback in the NFL at this point in time. So yeah, it's
very true.
It's hard to fit Matthew Stafford in, but to his credit, he's been there, he's done that. And wow, that's a gauntlet for sure. That's scary. I'm glad we're on the other side of that equation.
Yeah. I mean, if you were Matthew Stafford, let's just say for argument's sake, you got traded for the Dolphins right now. I mean, you'd be sitting in a division where you know that Josh Allen is, like you're saying, getting that QB1 credit right now. Maybe the, you know, a lot of people seeing him as an MVP, and he can do it all, it seems. And you'd be staring up at him. I'm a huge Zach Wilson fan personally, but I do think like one of the things that's interesting too here is like, again, it's not just that the NFC has bad, worse quarterbacks. It's that when I look at the quarterbacks over here, the bad quarterbacks like Zach Wilson, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, I'm thinking, well, give him some time. You know, I'm not a big Tua guy, but at the same time, Tua probably has more upside than any starting quarterback in the NFC who's, you know, under 26 or 27. You know, you're not taking Sam Darnold. You're not taking Jameis Winston. I don't see any more upside coming out of Marcus Mariota. I don't see anything coming out of Drew Locke. Other than Trey Lance, there's like not a lot here. I mean, I don't believe that Jalen Hurts will, you know, as you were saying, Daniel Jones maybe, you know, but we'll see how Brian Daboll, speaking of Josh Allen, you know, we'll see what they can do with Daniel Jones. Certainly the Giants invested in their weapons last year. They've got a couple of first round picks this year. We'll see if they use both of those. But yeah, I could see there's that equation to it. But it's just like, if you're Matthew Stafford, yeah, and you were to go take over in Miami, you'd have this tough division with two guys on the upside with Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, and then Josh Allen. And then if you were to go to the AFC North, you'd be looking at Lamar Jackson, and we'll see, you know, sort of which direction his career and his contract goes. Of course, Joe Burrow. Now all of a sudden, Deshaun Watson's there. If you were to take over the Steelers job, you don't know if you're no QB4 in that division all of a sudden. If you go to the AFC South, probably the best quarterback in the AFC South right now, I would say Matthew Stafford. But I'd be pretty worried about the Trevor Lawrence, you know, surpassing you. And, you know, competency from Ryan Tannehill is certainly possible. And then you mentioned the AFC West. So I think in the NFC, we really talked about, for the most part, a situation where the Rams could have a top three defense and a top three quarterback this upcoming season, if all things go right. And if things go well, I don't think it's that outlandish to be a top five quarterback and definitely a top five defense. And that's enough maybe to get the number one seed. Doesn't guarantee anything. You know, the Rams weren't the number one seed last year. The Bucks weren't the number one seed the year before that. They were both, they both had to win four games to get into, hold on to that Lombardi trophy. So it's not all things, but it does seem like the Rams are very well set up for this upcoming season. And that's as far as, you know, Les Snead ever really looks ahead. And so far it's panning out. So we'll see how that goes so far. Last words here, JB, do you think after our touching base with the Rams and the rest of the NFL, would you say you feel more optimistic about the Rams' chances of repeating, about the same, less optimistic?
Well, once you're in the tournament, anything can happen, really, right? So if you're a high seed and you have the bye, that really, you know, the odds are in your favor, just because it's hard to put those four games together in a row. Injuries happen. The ball, it's an oblong shape, you know, it bounces the wrong way from time to time. So anything can happen once you're in the tournament. Once you put them side by side, the NFC has lost some premier quarterback talent, and the Rams should be in the conversation, certainly. And I wonder how much that approaches the Les Snead team build this offseason. Is maybe you don't need to gear up. Maybe you don't need to acquire those premier players. You can save the draft capital or maybe roll over some cap space the next year. Maybe you're fine running into the season with Justin Hollins and Terrell Lewis, hoping one of those guys, maybe Chris Garrett, emerges as your edge rusher. Maybe you want to bounce back here from David Long or what Robert Rochelle has available for you. So maybe you're more willing to take that risk than, you know, spending that premier draft capital and cap space to go acquire a star player, or maybe sign a free agent now that's going to cost you a compensatory draft pick later down the road. So, I mean, that's it. The path to the playoffs and the path to the Super Bowl, it's a lot less daunting than it was a year ago, certainly. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty eye-opening way to look at it, I think, the exercise we just went through. So,
yeah, very true. Very true. We'll see how it plays out, and we'll see how these draft picks slot in, and then we'll check in again after we find out who these names are. You know, it's so hard to get to excited by any potential draftees just because the Rams are so far down the board and it's all, who knows what things are going to look like on day three. But I think certainly looking at the current Rams roster, as we did today, you see a lot of guys that were drafted in 2018, 2019, just now starting to get their starting roles situated. So whoever the Rams draft in 2022, may be talking about them in 2025 and 2026. And so that's why we are talking about, you know, David Long and how he can get, you know, finally in his groove and maybe, you know, looking a year ago with Robert Rochelle and so on. So, and Nick Scott, you know, maybe he'll emerge as a premier starter for the Rams defense. We'll find out. But this is Turf Show Times, the podcast. Subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on podcast apps. Go to turfshowtimes.com. Go to twitter.com/turfshowtimes. Follow us there. Follow us on facebook.com/turfshowtimes. And we're going to keep doing more of these video podcasts. If you guys want to watch those, it seems to be in vogue for people these days trapped in their homes to, well, I guess we're not trapped in the homes anymore, but during those trapped times, a lot of podcasts happen. So that's going to be the case here with Turf Show Times. And so that's it for this episode. Come back next time for the next episode when we're talking about probably something more closely related to the draft, hopefully.